Blog Talk Radio.
Prosperity. Oh, I see some early birds on the call this morning. I got you yesterday, didn't I? Yes, I did. We're on a hot topic. We're talking about that Christ consciousness. Boy, we're moving into a whole new understanding of who we are. And, of course, we're linking this right back to the law of attraction. I'm Cynthia Johnson this morning. I'm here with Dr. Reggie Johnson.
I'm here this morning, too.
Oh, my God. I'm just so excited. I'm all over the place because I'm so excited.
Yeah, we saw a great movie yesterday, After Earth. Oh, my God. And we were the only ones that did ready to stand up and shout because they used all the principles and talked about them in this film.
Oh, my
from
God.
From oneness and from the wizard, from all those things that we learned in Circles of Prosperity, they were mentioned in this movie. And it was fantastic.
It really was. It really was. So listen, I hope that you guys can hear us this morning. If you can, please press 1 on your telephone keypad because I see people dropping in and dropping out. Someone, please. Thank you very much. Thank you. So you can hear us. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right. You know, we've been having this ongoing issue, and it's a little disruptive, but I'm glad you can hear us this morning. So, Dr. Reggie, I had a great time last night. I am so excited about this movie, and you guys have got to go see it. It's Will Smith's movie, and his son, Jaden Smith, and After Earth. I'm not going to ruin it for you.
Go and
see the movie.
It was very good.
We're going to have a discussion about the movie after you go see it. So here's the deal. I'm giving everybody the weekend. You know, there's a lot of times we want to go on the weekend. And then we'll talk about it on Monday. Does that sound like a plan?
It does.
It does. I don't want to ruin it for you. So go and then come back on Monday and we'll talk about it and see. So, Dr. Reggie, go ahead and take us into our morning prayer so we can jump into this lesson.
Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful energy, brand new day, brand new sky, wonderful opportunity to learn everything. Let us love each other, understand the principles, open our hearts to the mind of love and not of fear, casting out all fear with perfect love. Mm-hmm. And we thank you for the energy of the Holy Spirit of which we are part and born. And our destinies are always great because we have you. We believe it is so, and so it is.
And so it is. Oh, my goodness. Just the prayer alone is just getting me charged this morning. Okay, so we are taking this lesson, of course, from Joshua David Stone's book entitled Soul Psychology, How to Clear Negative Emotions and Spiritualize Your Life. You know, I just jumped right into chapter 5 of this book because it just resonated so with me. And I feel when that happens that the Holy Spirit is saying, you need to teach this.
Mm-hmm.
And so I am sharing it with you. I'm not teaching it. I'm actually just sharing it with you. As a matter of fact, sometimes I'm discovering it along with you. So it's a journey that we take together in spirit. I'm not going to repeat anything from yesterday. You know, I hope you're sharing these lessons with your friends because this is the most powerful lesson I believe that I've taught. And I know I've touched upon it, but the way Joshua Stone lays it out is just so powerful. Okay, so now we're moving on to talk about the authority problem. And he says that the authority problem has to do with the core issue of who is the ultimate authority in your life. He says the ultimate authority is God, and it is God who created us. And the negative ego tells us, however, that God doesn't exist because we can't see him with our physical sense. So the ego is the ultimate authority. The ego tells us that each of us is just a physical body and not the Christ living in a physical body. You know, the thing that we have to move into is not to depend on what we actually see with our physical eyes or hear with our physical ears. We just can't depend on it. You know, when you have a challenge in front of you, and you know, come on, let's just talk about it. Like when you've got money problems, and you are always looking at the evidence to support that you are having a money problem, that there is a shortage of money. Your ego is saying, well, don't be foolish, Cynthia. Can't you see right here? You only have $200 to your name, and that's got to last you. You're paying attention to that, and you will say, Cynthia, you know, I don't want to hear all this foolishness that you're talking about because I'm looking at my bank account and I know that it's empty. But here is the thing. You are God. And God has an abundant flow. See, when you stop relying on your physical self and move into your spiritual self, then you can start telling yourself different things because then you're moving into your authority and your power. So you deny the physical things that you see. And this is so, you know, this is what they call affirmative prayer in unity. The first step to affirmative prayer in unity is to deny what you see.
It's true. It's very true.
You can't pray for a person's healing if you are acknowledging that they're sick.
That's right.
The first step is denial. And see why it's so important to understand this lesson that we have about our Christ consciousness. How is it that we can see the person not sick? Because we're recognizing their Christ consciousness in them. We're recognizing God in them. We're recognizing them as God, omnipotent, omnipresent, right?
Mm-hmm.
Omniscient.
Mm-hmm.
We're recognizing the perfection that is there. The only reason they're experiencing illness is because some error in their thought. But I'm not going to focus on the error in their thought. I'm focusing on the perfection of who they really are, and I'm praying from that reality. Not what I'm seeing, not what the doctors are saying. And that's hard.
It is. You know, you're giving more credence to the sickness instead of the healing.
Amen.
When you say, you know, I'm praying for the person, it means that you're sending light and love. And what you are seeing, you're seeing them whole as God made them, as you know they exist already in their perfection. Once you see that, you know that your prayer is answered, and you let it go. You don't have to beg God for anything or double plead. God is not deaf or blind or dumb. He understands everything, understands you intuitively, and made you in the first place. You're just connecting with the alignment once more to validate who you are in the God consciousness. So it's very powerful. And consciousness is all there is.
Listen, Joshua Stone says that the ludicrousness of the ego is obvious. He says the ego is ludicrous because God created us and we created the ego. However, we have been letting the ego be the ultimate authority. And it is time for us to recognize our own personal power and our authority over ourselves. It is time for us to gain mastery over our mind, our emotions, our physical body, and, of course, that ego. Because it is not God's job to get rid of our ego. That is our job. We created it so we can get rid of it. God could do it. He could do it. He could get rid of it. But this would be like giving birth to a child and doing everything for the child. And some of us do that. But if we did that, the child would grow up to be completely incapable, and there would be no reason to incarnate into this school called life. If you are doting over your children and doing everything for them and not allowing them to explore and stand on their own, look at what you are handicapping them. They came into this life experience to experience life. The good, the bad, all of it has a higher purpose. When you move into the fact of who you really are, then you even understand your connection with your children and what you need to do with your children. I saw a headline. I didn't read the whole article, but where Will Smith says, "I don't own my son." You know, I would think he's saying, "I was a vehicle for him to get here, but he's his own person."
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to hold on forever and ever and ever. Yes, we have a relationship. We have a bond. But he needs to explore and become the individual that he desires to become in this life experience. I thought that was just a powerful statement. I don't own my son. So God doesn't need to learn these lessons. We do. And one of the lessons of A Course in Miracles is this: my salvation is up to me. You know, let me just say this. There are so many good-meaning Christians that want to minister to you and tell you and to bring you salvation. But they can't do that. You're the only one. And salvation is up to you. You have to make that step. They can't do it. And they're just forcing and forcing, and then making you try to manipulate and control and make you feel guilty because you're not holy enough. Woo! But they mean well. God bless them. I love them where they are. They mean well. God has already given us everything. It is we who have separated ourselves from God by listening to the voice of the ego. And in reality, we have never been separated from God.
Amen.
However, in our consciousness or perception of reality, we are. We can easily remedy this situation by changing our, what's the word coming up? Changing our what?
Thoughts. Oh, we have thoughts.
That's right. Changing our thoughts. You guys should have been able to finish that sentence for us. We can easily remedy this situation by changing our thoughts. And
yes.
So the Bible says to us, be transformed by the renewal of your mind.
Wow.
It also says, as a man thinks, so is he.
True.
Abraham Lincoln said, a man is as happy as he makes up his mind to be. And Ralph Waldo Emerson said, a man is what he thinks about all day long.
Yes.
So it is time for us to wake up and snap out of this self-created hell of our own negative thinking.
Mm.
And it is time to get in control of our subconscious mind and stop letting it push us around.
Amen. Exactly.
It is meant to be our servant, not our master. So how is attitudinal healing accomplished? How do we heal our attitude? Well, the process of accomplishing this attitudinal healing is actually very simple. What I would recommend is that you imagine that you are surrounded by a golden bubble that protects you from the outside world, and it protects you from other people as well, and it also protects you from your own subconscious mind. In other words, I would like you to imagine that all of your thoughts and your feelings and your impulses and desires and images are outside your golden bubble. All of what is termed the content of consciousness is outside that bubble. And the idea then is that every time a thought or a feeling or an impulse arises from your subconscious mind and you stop it at the gate of that bubble, almost as if there was a guard there checking its passport. And if the thought or feeling or impulse is positive and if it's loving and spiritually balanced and Christ-like and of God, then, of course, you say, you let it through the bubble. And you let it into your mind. But, hey, if that thought or that feeling or that impulse or that desire is negative or if it's selfish or if it's fear-based or if it's imbalanced and not of God, then you want to push it out of your mind. Because the Course in Miracles says, deny any thought that is not of God to enter your mind. Look at that. The first step is denial.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when I just gave you the example of an affirmative prayer of something that you can let in. When you see a person that's sick and you want to pray for them, you keep the physical condition outside of that bubble. That cannot come and permeate in your mind. How many of you have prayed for somebody, but you're thinking, oh, I got to pray for them to overcome this physical, that they don't have cancer anymore. You're trying to correct something that's not real anyway, that they created, they're responsible for it. Okay, what's really real is what the power in them. That's what you're praying to release for their awareness to come and that you're acknowledging it. That's why I can pray for you all day long, but if you are not willing to participate and believe in your healing as well, it's just a waste of my time, is it not? Yes. That's Jesus. You know, I'll never forget hearing a minister say, he said, Jesus never healed anybody. Ooh, and everybody sat back and said, you could hear the church go, oh. And then, of course, what are they paying attention to? Well, it says in the Bible. He said, no, Jesus never healed anybody. He said, he always said, do you believe that you will be healed? And they would say, yes. And he says, then be it done unto you according to your faith. It takes two willing people to be ready to receive that healing. Two. All right. So where do we pick up here? Deny any thought that is not of God. So remember that it takes 21 days to cement any new habit into the subconscious mind. So after 21 days, it will be automatic to think with your Christ mind. It will not even be difficult. It will be a habit. The idea is to fill the subconscious mind with positive Christ-like habits and get rid of the egotistical thoughts. I'm sorry about that. So, you've got your exercise here, really? I want you guys to listen today. Today is June the 5th. 21 days from now is what? It'll be June 26th. We're going to roll back to June 26th and see how successful you were in developing this new habit. Amen? Okay. So are you a master or are you a victim? What we think and image within our conscious and subconscious mind will manifest its mirror likeness in our external circumstances. What is that? That's the principle of law of attraction, is it not? So the outer world is a mirror of the inner world. The microcosm is like the macrocosm. So as we learn to get control of our minds, we learn to get control of our feelings and emotions. And feelings and emotions do not just happen to us. We create them by how we think. So remember that we are co-creators with God, made in his image. God is not a victim, and neither are we. So there are particular beliefs that cause certain feelings and emotions. And when we learn to think with our Christ mind, all of our negative feelings and emotions begin to disappear. It is a way of thinking that will bring us inner peace, unconditional love, and a joy all the time. So nothing outside of us causes us to think or feel anything. Did you hear that? Nothing, nothing outside of us causes us to think or feel anything. Stop pointing fingers and blaming people for your situation, especially your poor parents. You just blame them for every lot of them. It's years later, they gave birth to you 40, 50, 60, 70 years ago, and you still blaming them for your miserable life. It's not. It's your child. It's, you know, you are dragging those childhood experiences in here. It's all on you, what you're thinking, what you're perceiving. When we learn to think with our Christ mind, all of our negative feelings and emotions, they begin to disappear. It is our interpretation, our belief, our perception of this situation that causes us to feel the way we do. Here's an example. In the 1929 stock market crash, one person might have jumped out of the window of a building to commit suicide, but another person who lost a similar fortune might have said, oh, easy come, easy go. In another example, two people come to work to find that the elevator is broken and they have to walk up 10 flights of stairs, and one person curses and swears, but the other says, oh, great, this is an opportunity to get this to the flexify. So walking down the street, we can see other people as just other meaningless physical bodies or as brothers and sisters in a much larger spiritual family. And as I said previously, we see with our minds, not just our physical eyes. Our behavior is also caused by our thoughts and feelings. We never do anything that does not have an antidote as some thought or feeling in either our conscious or our subconscious mind. The idea is to completely clean out the subconscious mind of all negative programming. And, you know, we'll probably do a lesson on that later on, maybe following this lesson, we'll do it. So as we achieve mastery over he's going to talk about Dwaj Kul, and I don't want to jump into that, but Dwaj Kul has called the three lower vehicles. We want to achieve mastery over the mental, the emotional, and the physical body, and then control over the negative ego. Then we will eventually merge with the soul. So there's a whole process he's laying out. And the soul brings us the Midas touch. I love it. Where everything we do turns to gold because we are in harmony with God's laws. And as we continue to evolve our attunement, it moves from the soul up to the spirit or to the monad. And as we achieve this mastery, we can program the subconscious mind to attract to us anything that we need. The idea is to consciously program your subconscious with nothing but positive. Now do you see why Abraham is saying, pay attention to how you feel. Does it feel good? Pay attention to how you feel. Is it feeling good? You want to have good thoughts and good feelings. Good thoughts and good feelings. Good thoughts and good feelings. You're cleaning out the negative energy of your subconscious mind. So if you really want to work that law of attraction, you got to get this. If you don't get this, it's not going to work. If you don't do the work, it's not going to work. It's like, let me see. It's like having this great car, like a Ferrari, but you decide to put water in it for gas. It's not going to go anywhere. You have to put quality gas in that Ferrari for it to move and perform the way it should. You have to put quality thoughts in your mind, quality feelings in your heart for that law of attraction to work. So most people don't utilize the incredible power of the subconscious mind, as I pointed out in the chapter on integrating and balancing the three minds. But this reprogramming is achieved through the process of denial and affirmation. Denial and affirmation. The idea is to deny the negative thoughts and to constantly affirm the positive spiritual thoughts. So in the chapter on how, there's a chapter he has here on how to reprogram the subconscious mind, he gives you many positive affirmations and visualizations to work with to achieve whatever it is that you want to create in your life. So I'm at this point now in this book that I'm telling you, run to Amazon.com or Borders, or no, Borders doesn't exist anymore, or to Barnes & Noble and buy this book, Soul Psychology, by Joshua David Stone. You need to get this book. We'll make it a book study, but I want you to buy this book because it's going to help you. So he's going to talk about sickness. And sickness is a defense against the truth. What do you think that's going to be about?
No. For one thing, when you think about those things that deal with reality and truth, there's so much of the whole vista of things that you're learning on this program. And I see it in every little subtle nuance. Every film, every TV show, I see the truth always emanating from these people. And they get it. This whole emergence of truth on the planet is coming forth. And we're getting it. We're on the leading edge of it right now, and that's exciting for me. And that we're getting more people to understand and embrace who they really are in consciousness. That's what this program does for me. It's fantastic. It really is.
Amen. Listen, if you guys want to talk to me this morning, and me and Dr. Brandy, go ahead and press 1 on your telephone keypad. I definitely want to open it up, the lines this morning, and hear your thoughts as we move through this lesson. But I'm telling you, it's just something else. I'm loving it. So he says that sickness is a defense against the truth.
It really is.
My thought, before I even get into this, is that it's a way for us to deny the truth.
Mm-hmm.
We want to remain, to think that we're powerless. But let's see what he says. The subconscious mind runs the physical body, and this can be clearly proved in the use of hypnosis. If our true identity is the Christ, then how can we get sick? If God isn't sick, then in reality, we can't be sick either. Woo! That's one you just need to breathe on, huh? If God isn't sick, then in reality, we can't be sick either. We get sick because we believe in and indulge in our negative thoughts. Sickness is a defense against the truth, because the truth is that we are the Christ and can't be sick. If we held this thought, then the subconscious mind, which does whatever we order it to do, would keep us healthy. And I know some of you at this point might hang up the phone on me when you hear that. That's okay. That's okay. So this applies to the aging process also. If we didn't believe we had to age, we wouldn't.
I know that's true.
I know. You guys, I'm trying to get Reed on here. Reed is 80-something years old, but you would think he was easily in his 40s.
Mm-hmm.
The energy he has, the flexibility in his body, and I believe, if I recall correctly, that he heard a guy say something one day that we didn't have to die, and that triggered him on this path of connecting his spiritual beliefs with the way he cared for his body. Tremendous, tremendous teacher. You will be mightily blessed by him. So, he says, ascended masters prove this. They can live in the same physical body indefinitely.
You can.
Saint Germain did it for 350 years in Europe. And in the same way, Dwaj Kul, the inner plane ascended master, whose guidance I follow, lived as the Chinese sage Confucius, one of the three holy men who visited Master Jesus at his birth and had his teachings channeled through Alice Bailey in the 1940s. Physical immortality is achievable because we are God. Woo!
And that thoughts rule it all. Thoughts of the same rule it all.
So, he says it's still important to eat well. It's still important to exercise. It's still important to follow God's physical laws until we reach that ascended state of consciousness at the sixth initiation. Many younger souls try to defy God's physical laws at a stage in their spiritual evolution where they are not yet able to walk on water. They will get to this point, however. Until they do, it is most wise to respect God's laws on the physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual plane. The spiritual path is a process. The spiritual path is a process. That's why I say don't beat yourself up. Love yourself through this. And just pay attention to the small steps that you're making. We don't reach our goal in one instant. In one holy instant, you can fully realize that you are the Christ and that you are God. However, you must demonstrate that illumination
mm-hmm.
and ground it on the earthly plane to share with others. And that all takes time. So the spiritual path does not go straight up to God. Rather, it involves attuning yourself upward and then bringing that consciousness back down to earth. So God's divine plan is to create heaven on earth. Didn't we start this lesson out while Dr. Reggie was saying why it was so important for us to understand God consciousness? Because now we're in this time where it is easier for us. It doesn't take as long for us to manifest heaven on earth. So this spiritual path that he's talking about, the time has been shortened from where you are now and the realization and then of that you are Christ consciousness to actually moving and bringing that into reality for you. That time has been shortened, and we've had many messengers on this show to tell us that. So, you are here to spiritualize the material plane. You are here to spiritualize the material plane. Now, let's talk about the holy encounter. This is my last subject for today, and then we'll save the rest of this chapter for tomorrow. So, what is the holy encounter? The Course in Miracles talks about the holy encounter. It is the understanding that every time we meet another person in the world, it is a holy encounter.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness. Amen.
It is. It really is amazing.
So each encounter with another person is in reality Christ meeting Christ.
Mm.
God meeting God.
They're going to make me shout, okay?
Every person we meet, whether we know him or not, is God visiting us in physical form.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Isn't that a beautiful way to look at it?
It really is.
Oh, hey, that's why I love the, in India, they say namaste. They're acknowledging the Christ in you. The Christ in me is acknowledging, saying hello to the Christ
in
you.
It salutes the Christ in you.
Yes.
It does. It's amazing.
Yes. So this concept applies to the animal, the plant, and the mineral kingdoms also. There is only one being in the infinite universe, and that is God. He says one being, I say one energy. Because when we think of being, you know, we start thinking about bodies and all of that stuff. So, but, you know, it's okay. There is only one being in the infinite universe, and that is God. God has incarnated into an infinite number of forms.
Amen.
He is incarnated as you. He is incarnated as me. He's incarnated as the animals and the plants and the minerals, everything.
Even the elements.
Yes. So Sai Baba has said that the fastest way to realize God is to see him in everything and everyone,
mm-hmm.
to see him in our brothers and sisters, because he is our brothers and sisters. And this can be clearly demonstrated through language, because when you say, I feel this way, or I'm going to the market, have you ever thought about it that what the I is? Have you ever thought about it?
Mm.
The I is the God self or the Christ. No matter what words we speak in any given sentence, the I, the big I, capital I, is the same for everybody. The capital I underlines the mental, the emotional, the physical vehicle or the bodies. God is incarnated as the eternal capital I. In everything.
Wow.
And in everyone.
Yes. Amen.
Oh, so when we see a person on the street as just a stranger, we're seeing him through the negative ego's eyes. But the truth is that whether we believe it or not, this person is the Christ. And if we don't see him that way, we are removing the possibility of finding God for ourselves. What's the first lesson we had in Circles of Prosperity 2.5 years ago, 3 years ago? Get rid of the judgment.
And the labels.
Get rid of the labels. We are not merely doing that person a service by seeing them in their true form. We are doing ourselves the greatest service. For the world is a mirror of our own state of consciousness. And by seeing our brothers and our sisters as strangers, we have lost contact with God and ourselves. So I see my board lighting up. I will get to you in just a moment. Please hold on to your thought. Write it down if you have to, but I want to quite finish this lesson. Jesus Christ said that the whole law could be summed up in the statement, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul and mind and might, and love thy neighbor as thyself. I would go so far as to say that your neighbor is yourself, for God has only one child, and we are all part of that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
We all share the same capital I. So how we see our brothers and sisters is literally how we are treating God and ourselves. So imagine that you are walking down the street, and there before you is your favorite spiritual master. It could be Jesus Christ or Sai Baba, or Dwaj Kul, or Lord Maitreya, or the Virgin Mary, or the Buddha, or Kuan Yin, whoever. But this is your favorite master. And how would you treat that master when you approach him or her on the street? So if you treat every person you meet in your life, be it a street person, a grocery store clerk, your mother-in-law, or your husband or your wife, any differently, you are missing the mark and have more focusing on your consciousness to do. So there is absolutely no difference between these masters and the so-called ordinary people, nor is there any difference between these masters and yourself. Jesus said, made this point when he said, everything I can do, you can do and more. So our identity is exactly the same. The only difference is that the masters are doing a little better than we are at demonstrating it. So never, never, never give up. For as the great Paramahansa Yogananda said, a saint is a sinner that never gave up. And the ascended masters had to work through exactly the same challenges and lessons that we are struggling with right now. I think that's a wonderful way
yes.
to end this lesson today. Let me move on and pick up a call real quick. Good morning. Area code 301, you're on the air.
Greetings, my loved ones, Cynthia and Dr. Reggie. I miss you all.
Oh,
how y'all doing? This is Artist. I don't know what's been going on because I've been getting on the calls. You haven't been having them on Thursday, I guess, and Friday. I miss Oracle Friday. I don't know what happened. And I apologize because somehow I might have missed the cue on that. But anyway, I'm so glad to hear you all's voices. God is so good.
Yeah. We weren't on this past Friday, so our guest canceled on us. I should have uploaded an old show, but I didn't. But I promise you guys I won't have dead air anymore. I'm just going to upload shows. But
That's fine, because I uploaded one anyway on my own because I missed it so bad. So I went to the site, and I just listened to an old one that I missed. So that was all good, but I miss you all, and all as well. Everything is exciting, you know, I'm telling you. And I'm just mindful of whatever feels good and good for my soul I'm doing. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you for calling in this morning. We love you.
Love you all too.
Absolutely.
Good morning, Erico 585. How are you this morning? There. Okay, I was checking. I thought I was checking on the dog, so we wanted to hear the results. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and move into our closing prayer. We love you guys so much. Oh, my goodness. Tomorrow we're going to talk about sin versus mistakes. And we're going to talk about unconditional love versus conditional love. Oh, my God, it's going to be good. You're going to love it. How many of you are excited about discovering who you really are? I know I am. Amen. I'm glad to hear this again and again and again. I need time. Dr. Reggie, go ahead and take us into our closing prayer.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, God. Thank you that we are alive, that we understand, that we have profound wisdom and understand everything that is written on the secret wind of time and space, and that we have no limits except the ones we place on ourselves.
Mm.
You give us strength and you give us divine guidance all the time. It's about us understanding and listening very closely. And being in the silence and knowing that we are who we are in you, and we can proudly say, I am that I am. We thank you so much as we listen and learn on the road of consciousness, and that consciousness is all there is. Thank you for this. So, and so it is.
It is.